Sky's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sky's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sky.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. I offer myself at the lotus feet of Lord Sai, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Good morning, dear listeners, and thank you for joining us on this beautiful Thursday morning, February the 20th, 2014. You're tuned to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. The time here in our studio right now is 9:40 a.m. My name is Karuna, and I'm honored to be your RG for this show. May I also remind you that I am an audio engineer in training, and I pray to Swami to run the show all by himself, given the risks involved in leaving me on the panel. Of course, I am being trained under the watchful eyes of my colleague, Brother Sunil. With that, let's turn our attention to what's keeping Prashanthi Nilayam always on a high. The weather, for starters, continues to be unseasonably pleasant during mornings, evenings and overnight. But during the day, the Indian summer is slowly beginning to raise its hot head. Suddenly, our water consumption is on the rise and people here are switching to cooler cotton clothes. Slowly but surely, the temperatures are inching their way up each day. Today, we have lows of 22 Celsius, but the mercury is expected to peak at 34 degrees Celsius in the afternoon. The good news is that along with the rising temperatures, the energy levels are also surging at Prashanthi Nilayam as Mahashivaratri, the holiest night of the Hindu calendar, is approaching us. One of the many wonderful things about our ashram is that it has become a melting pot of sorts for world cultures and spiritual traditions. Recently, Baba's devotees of Chinese heritage welcomed the Chinese New Year, that is the year of the wood horse, with colorful celebrations in the Sai Kulwanthal. And since then, the ashram is exceptionally busy and we are seeing devotees, especially Westerners, from Eastern Bloc countries of Europe, including Russian-speaking countries, pouring in for the big overnight Mahashivaratri bhajan that will begin at 6 p.m. on Friday, February the 28th, and conclude the next morning at 6 a.m., that is on Saturday, March the 1st. Dear listeners, have you noticed that throughout every segment of Thursday Live, different members of Team Radio Sai remind you why life is an eternal celebration here at Prashanthi? Dear brothers and sisters, you got to believe it, because that really is a fact. For instance, we are barely done with the Chinese New Year celebrations and Mahashivaratri is upon us. This afternoon in the mandir, the gratitude season begins. That is when Baba's dearest students from various batches of Sai schools and university will start presenting their gratitude program to their beloved Baba. And March, as you know, is exam time, and then the school year will come to a close on April the 1st. Doesn't all this make you wonder, when do these children and their teachers complete the academic syllabus? Where do they find the time for the outstanding sports meet held just 1 month ago? Plus all these dramas, music programs, and let's not forget how well Sai schools perform on their national board exams. I guess it all goes back to that perfect rhythm of life that Bhagwan has set in motion here. And it is based on a combination of factors that include dedicated teachers, disciplined students, efficient time management, rigorous schedules, and, of course, the magic of Sai Grace, which is so palpable in everything that happens here every single nanosecond. Truly, there is no place in the universe as easy on the heart and as soothing on the soul as our Prashanthi Nilayam, the abode of highest peace. By the way, we had a huge and happy event at the Sai University recently, and I will tell you more about it later on in the show. Today, for now, we will continue to celebrate the divine magic of Prashanthi Nilayam through the final episode of a Fleeting Moments interview with Mr. Yasab Giri, a Sai University alumnus. But before that, I have a brand new episode of Tris with Divinity with Mr. Sugunakar, and here it is for your listening pleasure.
I had a lot of fractures, I had a lot of bruises, and I had breathing problems, but it was Baba, Baba, Baba every day. With every breath, with every step I would take while running, it would be Om Shri Sai Ram.
Well, it actually all started with my mother getting a vision of Swami. This was in 1970, when she was cooking.
There were lots of roses and, of course, tiny little rosebuds, which was nowhere ready to bloom. And he just touched it with his finger.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a movie or a video, mm-hmm. right in front of my eyes, you know, this rosebud started to get bigger and bigger and bigger and opened out into a beautiful rose.
Love All, Serve All, we've made as famous as Swami has at the Hard Rock, because we put it on millions and millions of t-shirts, jackets, buttons, badges, everything. If you got your check, if you work for me at the top, Love All, Serve All, we put huge signs up in every restaurant around the world.
Trist with Divinity is our weekly series in which we bring you conversations with devotees of Bhagwan Baba from around the globe. You can listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai every Thursday at 9:50 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Trist with Divinity, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website, radiosai.org, or you can also download and listen to any interview of your choice in this series at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/trist. That is radiosai.org/TRYST or trist. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners. Welcome to Tris with Divinity, our series of conversations with individuals whose lives have been touched and transformed by the love of the Sai Avatar. In the early days of the Satya Sai Avatar, two names occur frequently. One is of a place known as Kuppam, and the other is the Venkatamuni family of Chennai. From Kuppam hailed Mr. Radhakrishna Sethi, who was brought back to life by Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba after he was declared clinically dead. This account is very well chronicled in the early Sai literature, including Mr. Howard Murfitt's book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. The name of Mr. Radhakrishnan's son-in-law, Mr. G. Venkatmuni, is also well known, as Bhagwan visited the Venkatmuni residence during his travels to Chennai in early years. Mr. G. Venkatmuni's grandson, Mr. G. Sugunakar, is our guest today. Mr. G. Sugunakar also happens to be the nephew of Mrs. Vijay Kumari, the author of the book Anyatha Sharanam Nasti. Mr. Sugunakar belongs to a family of industrialists, and currently he is the chief executive officer of Satya Sai Trading Bangalore, a company exporting sandalwood and other essential oils and extractions. Sai Ram, Mr. Sugunakar, and a very warm welcome to Radio Sai, sir.
Sai Ram to you. Thank you.
Now, where shall we begin? This is a very old association with Bhagwan, and I understand in October of 1945, Sri Radhakrishna's family came to Palti from Kuppam, and your family, headed by your father and grandfather, came to Puttaparthi in 1946.
Yes.
Tell us about it. What did you hear from your elders in the family about that early journey in 1946?
I owe my first introduction to Swami from my eldest uncle, my father's immediate cousin brother, Mr. Ramalingam, who came here and then came back to Kuppam. So my grandfather was sitting with him, and I was asking, what have you seen in Puttaparthi? Where is it? How to go? And all these things. Then we were given the entire route, everything. Then my grandfather, three generations, you won't believe, came together in 1946 to Puttaparthi. Three generations, my grandfather, my father, and afterwards my father was very, very close to Baba. And as you know, in those days, there was very little in Puttaparthi, which is a small hamlet, and we used to live along with Baba in the mandir. So, all his pranks we have seen, as Baba himself was only 21 years old. My father must be only 4-5 years younger to him. Then, we used to regularly go to the Chitravati River along with Baba. All the miracles you have read, I did not repeat all that.
No, go ahead, share some, because maybe 5,000 years from now, people will think these are fables, and here you are who has witnessed it. It would be nice to hear, sir, from you.
The evening, 6 o'clock means Baba used to come out of his room. We were staying only next to the Baba's room, and Baba's room, sometimes it was closed, sometimes it was open. He used to come out 6 o'clock, time I find, bhajan, come on, he used to lead the bhajan.
It's time for bhajan.
Time for bhajan. And most of the time, he used to say, let us go to the Chitravati River. So we were wondering what is going to happen there. The amount of miracles we have seen, we used to stay here for 2-3 months when we come here. And until Baba says, you go home, we are not even having an idea to go back. That was our status. I have to thank my grandfather, who had all the patience, who used to even bring the cook. Nothing was available in Puttaparthi. Even for a salt, we had to go to Bukkapatnam tour. And while coming to Puttaparthi, it's an arduous journey. Up to Penukonda, we have to come by train. And then from Penukonda, there is only one gas bus. To start that gas bus, it will take 1 hour. They have to go on rotating for getting the heat, gas powered. So that bus is only for the whole day, only one bus.
And if you miss it?
If you miss the bus, it's gone. Next day.
24 hours.
We don't know, we have to go to a chowtry or somewhere and just stay there. Because there was nothing in Puttaparthi. And when we used to come by bus again to Bukkapatnam, from Bukkapatnam, bullock carts. Baba used to know that we are coming, and he used to arrange the bullock carts. And by bullock carts we had to come. And when we first arrived, we didn't know who was Baba. We had no picture of him. Then suddenly we found that the youngster who is sitting here and everybody sitting around him, then we knew that this was Baba. That was our...
What did he look like? What do you remember of his looks?
He looked very young and mischievous look. You can say mischievous look.
What was his hair like? Was it fully grown into a circle?
It was a little sideways. It was a...
Good. It was a parting?
A parting.
Mm-hmm.
And one side it was a little high.
Mm-hmm. Not the full crown.
Not the full crown which we are seeing here.
Mm-hmm.
Then coming back to the miracles, we used to take the rava laddus from the sand. We are hesitating to eat. He will say, come on, eat it. We are hesitating to take
because
those
because you thought they might be dirty.
Oh, but the fragrance was so good. It was more attractive to eat. Then Baba used to say, oh, you have some hesitation. So he used to eat. Now you say, there is no sand, you eat. And in that Kalpavruksha tree, you name the fruit, he used to pluck it. One of those visits.
Which fruit have you eaten?
I think I have eaten an apple, if I am not mistaken.
Imagine apples growing in Puttaparthi, huh?
So that was a tamarind tree.
Yeah.
And you could take orange, you could take anything. And this was a miracle which we have seen. Then he will be talking to us normally. Then sometimes he will say, come on, sing, let us sing bhajans. He will never waste his time. Even in the riverside, we used to sing bhajans. And suddenly he will disappear from our midst. We don't know where he is. And you say, oh, you people are looking that side. I'm here standing on the hill. Then there is a big aura. And that one particular evening we saw that. We couldn't stand the aura.
Why, is it so bright?
Very bright. Very bright, looking like a living sun or something like that. Sun we can't see even 1 second.
Second, we can't keep our eyes open. Yeah.
So this was, then we had to pray to Baba. Please come to normal. And we are unable to witness this miracle. Miracle is okay, but the aura is so, this thing, that shine, bright shine, we were not able to withstand. That was our this thing. And one particular thing I wanted to tell you is, he stood near the gate of the old mandir, having his hand on my father. He was very close.
Like, on his shoulder?
On his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Sivaram, you don't know who I am, and you will never know who I am in your life. The whole world will come here. You see, you take my word.
This young 21
years old.
Old Baba made the declaration.
Yes, the declaration to my father.
How did your father take it?
He started laughing. What Baba you are telling, whole world will come here. There is not even a decent toilet here. We are going to the Chitravati River for ablutions and you are telling the whole world will come here. And mind these words, 2001, my father had an interview after a very long time. Then when he came into the interview, he said what all has happened in Kuppam. From 1947, after visited our factory, and what all has happened to your business and everything. He has not forgotten a single family member. My mother was there, my aunt was there, and in the morning when my father went alone, he says, "Where are the ladies?" He was started telling the names. He was shocked how he remembered all those names. He knew that these are the people waiting to come in the evening. He said, "If please remind me in the evening, I'll give you another interview. I'll 55 years later. And in the evening, he said, "Please bring the ladies." My father was hesitant in his darshan. How I can ask Swami?
Mm-hmm.
How am I to remind? Because millions of devotees have come later and millions of experiences everybody is hearing. Then he found Mr. Gopal Rao, very nearby, whom we knew very well. He told Mr. Gopal Rao, "Please, can you remind Swami that he has asked us to come in the evening?" And Gopal Rao did help us.
Oh.
He said, "Swami, I believe you asked Mr. Sivaram to come in the evening. Should I call him?" "Hey, send him in, send him in." So immediately the ladies also went. He spoke for 1 hour of all this, what all has happened in those families and all that. And is this not a blessing? And then he said, "Sivaram, do you remember one word I said 50 years back near that gate?" He says, "What is it, Swami?" "You were laughing when I said the whole world will come here. Now I am laughing, you are keeping quiet."
Nice comeback, Swami. Nice way to go.
So, there is nothing for us to argue or anything.
The facts speak for themselves.
Facts speak for themselves.
Huh.
And this is what he said. And the best blessing my father got was when he was sick in 2001. And he was in the hospital. And 8 o'clock in the morning, my father saw me coming inside. The moment he is...
Where was this, in Bangalore?
In Jain Hospital in Bangalore.
In Bangalore.
Not very far from my residence in Sankey Road,
mm-hmm.
in High Grounds. And then my mother had gone for changing her clothes and bath and all that. She was there on the whole day. Then the moment he saw me coming in, the driver who was waiting on my father, he says, "Chota Yajman, how are you?" So he has left. Only myself and...
Dad was in the room.
Dad were in the room. And he was surprised after some time. I didn't talk anything. I mean, normally we don't talk some. He was quite sick. Then I go out and put vibhuti on his forehead. And after some time, we have not spoken a word with each other. I left. I mean, that is the...
His version of the
story. That is his version of it. Then my mother came at 10 o'clock in the morning, after bath and all that. She said, "Who has put this vibhuti?" My father said, "Your son."
"That's you."
"That's me." Then she said, "Normally he doesn't come at 8 o'clock in the morning." She was not convinced. Then afternoon 3 o'clock, he was discharged. That was the previous to this admission of the other into the hospital. It was not that sick. Then 3 o'clock she got a doubt. She rang me up. We live in Jayanagar, they live in High Grounds. She lives with my brother. Then she asked me, "Sumanakar, did you come to the hospital?" I said, "Yes." "What time?" 12:30 in the afternoon. No. 8 o'clock your father says you came there and you didn't even utter one word, you didn't talk to him and you put vibhuti. Then I said, immediately struck me, "My God, this is Swami who has come in my form and blessed him," because he was chanting Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram all the time, 24 hours in his bed. I said, "This is unbelievable." I came only at 12:30, I didn't come at 8 o'clock. It was too early for me to get ready and come.
Now, I want to just go back a little bit, actually a lot. I want to go back to the time when your father, Sri G. Sivaram, he brought Swami from Parthi to Kuppam. Now, let's talk about that journey. It was one of the early trips that Swami made.
Only thing is, I don't know much about it.
Do you remember the year it might have been?
It is in 1947, July.
That is just before India became independent.
Yes, just before India became independent. And Kuppam was attacked by plague. So when Swami was brought by this car, he had to go to Radhakrishna's village.
Mm-hmm.
They are also farmers like us.
Mm-hmm.
And industrialists also. He spent 3 days there. And then he came to our factory. I have sent you those photographs also.
Yes, sir.
And he blessed everybody. Then he came to my house. We were living in the factory because those days there was no cure for plague.
Mm-hmm.
We had to vacate our houses. He came directly into our house in the main road,
mm-hmm.
and went into the mandir and stood for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were big farmers. We come from 12 miles from Kuppam, called Dandi Kuppam.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all our lands are there. So there we have an ancestral house started by my great-grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
So there we had to take Swami, and 3 days he stayed with us. 3 days.
What is it like to have God live with you for 3 days?
I mean...
You were only 11 years old,
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah. I mean, Everybody was blessed. The entire residents of that village are blessed. Then we had a teposam in the tank for Swami.
What is that about?
That water tank.
Mm-hmm.
That is the water supply for the fields. Mm-hmm. So there we took Swami there.
Mm-hmm.
And every day morning, Pada Puja was there. Bhajans were going on morning, evening, even sometimes afternoon also. And Swami was with us. And then my father brought him back to Puttaparthi. So only one anecdote I want to tell you. Near Penukonda, petrol was out mm-hmm. from the car. In those days, no petrol bomb, nothing.
I can imagine.
We had to go to the nearest town.
Yeah.
So my father brought, Swami, there is no petrol. So he says, why are you looking at me? No, I want your blessing. There is no petrol in there. Do you think I will go to produce petrol and put it into this car? You jolly well go. Take your can and go to the nearest town and get petrol. 2 to 3 hours, Swami was sitting alone in the car. And he was just simply waiting. And my father brought the petrol. He was struggling and he was sweating. He had to take some bus going on that side.
And then there were times when Swami did touch a bucket of water and convert it into petrol. But in this case, he chose not
that
to.
That is what my father was looking at him.
Hoping he would.
Swami said, why are you looking at me?
Red
why don't
wine.
You do your duty? You take your can and go and get petrol.
I see.
Do you think I am going to produce petrol?
Uh-huh.
You are mistaken totally.
Uh-huh.
You go and get it.
And imagine he sat on the roadside in a car alone.
Yeah, and only one thing he told my father was, I talked to a villager here and I have given him some fruits he had kept in the car so that I have given it to him. That mm-hmm. fellow never knew who was Baba. They are villagers, poor people, very simple people. They have never seen anything like that in this part of the city. I mean, town. It was only a
village.
Total village, yeah. Total. Village means not even 10 huts in those days. Except for the old mandir which was built later and everybody had to come to mandir only to stay there. You would even never consult us. You say, go to the Kuppam people, they will give you food. Any devotees coming there, mostly from Bangalore, people used to come. Because that is the nearest for this thing.
And you used to carry all the supplies from Kuppam?
Completely, all the provisions, and then we used to take our cook also.
Hmm.
That was our condition.
So it must have been quite rough to live here without bathrooms, without a proper shelter.
Wow.
And this stifling heat.
Stifling heat. And water had to be carried. Swami himself has carried water for his house.
Mm-hmm.
You have seen all those photographs
yes.
before. So that was also a big problem. With all the inconveniences, I mean, there is nothing to live on. Suppose you have forgotten some rice or some salt or something. You have to walk 10 miles to Bukapatnam to get it. So for that we had our office staff, one of the staff used to accompany us. And there was nothing to go. You had to go walking.
No roads, proper.
Nothing. I mean, Kacha Road
and
was
and then
there.
You stayed 2 to 3 months each time?
2 to 3 months.
Why?
We never felt like leaving. Because we were so much taken away by Baba's presence and the programs and he keeps you engaged and all that. And whenever we had to go, we had to ask his permission. When we ask, he will not give. Otherwise, he will say, when are you going?
Mm-hmm.
Then my grandfather used to say, Baba, when you say, when we have to go, we'll go. I mean, 3 generations staying here, leaving all the work in the factory.
Didn't your factory or your business suffer as a result of being away?
No, we had Mr. Venkatamani's elder brother.
Mm-hmm.
He was my father's uncle and my father's another brother-in-law. He was also there. So they were looking after.
Now, we hear the name of Mr. Venkatamani often in the early stories of Bhagwan's visit to Chennai.
Hmm.
He would always visit the Venkatamani family.
No, he used to stay there.
What was that like? Tell us a little bit about that.
I have gone only a few times when Swami was there, but Mrs. Rajagopal Venkatamani's sister-in-law, she used to get a postcard from Mrs. Venkatamani from Chennai that Baba is coming today and you come. So we used to see her in front of our house walking to the railway station to catch. It's on the main broadgauge line, Bangalore Madras broadgauge line. That was the main advantage for us. So I have gone few times when Baba was there. So until Sundaram was constructed, always he has been staying either in Mr. Venkatamani's place or that Venkatagiri Raja's house.
I see. Now this extended Kuppam family, we hear of them repeatedly, the Venkatamani family of Chennai. These are legendary names in Sai literature in the chronicles of Satyasai Avatar's story. One question on my mind is, these large families, how united are they? How loving are they today when the newer generations have come in this family?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you. You asked the right question. We have a fertilizer company. I'm also a director. My uncle, who is not there, he was also a director. Mr. Venkatamani's son is our managing director today. The second generation has already come. We are in the same family. You will not believe that this company is 70 years old. That itself shows that how united we are. Not many Indian companies will last for such a long time. So, we are still in the same company. That itself is the greatest grace Baba must have given. We are still together. I mean, we have to thank Baba for this. A company has existed for 70 years.
And we hope the same love and unity continues with the next generation.
We have to. And we continue to ask for His blessings in our life. Once His grace is there, what is it you can't achieve in your life? I mean, this is as simple as that.
Now, growing up as a child, you came here as a young boy of maybe 10, 11 years old, and you grew up with Swami. How did you relate to Him? Who was He for you?
We have been very young, except that we were following the footsteps of our parents. And then there used to be continuous correspondence between Baba and my father. I have a lot of letters with me, which are very, very valuable today. Every day it's valuable. And we used to read those letters later, not at that age. Maybe after we came back to our business, one day my mother showed me all these things. She had a Baba's robe kept in the puja room always. And Baba had given those one robe. And my father has even printed a stamp in those days.
A postal stamp?
It's not a postal stamp. That has been printed on the Anida Saranathi book also.
Mm-hmm.
My father had fancy for many things like this. He used to make some stationery for Swami and all that. In those days, Baba writing letters with a printed letterhead where it says...
Very ahead of his times.
Much ahead of his times. I mean, we don't want to go to the other details. Everybody has read how Sanatana Saradhi came into the picture.
No, how? Tell us.
He had purchased a second-hand press.
Your dad?
Swami. At that time, my father had gone there along with him.
Where was the press? In Bangalore?
In Bangalore.
Right.
In Cotton Pit. Imagine Swami going there and personally
checking
out. That's how it was started. Professor Kasur was asked to do the printing. It was an old type of printing with those letters and all that. I mean, very old.
Now, Mr. Sugunakar, I have a question for you. Your family, just too much grace, too much of association, too many opportunities and blessings from Swami. How did that translate into any kind of a transformation in your personal lives? You come from a family of reasonable affluence. You've been industrialists. You've been big farmers. You've had many blessings of wealth and prosperity in your life. Now, how did your association with Baba influence you as industrialists, as human beings, as employers?
Very simple. Baba's grace was there all throughout. For everything, you are going to pray Baba only. And everything is dedicated to Baba before we start anything. Start means even small things. We are dedicating everything to Baba. And except Baba, we are not thinking of anything else.
Have you had business setbacks?
We have. Plenty. Today we don't have those factories. As human beings, we have learnt a lot.
Such as?
From Swami. I mean, perseverance, good behavior, and total dedication to Swami. I mean, surrender everything to Him, then only solutions will start come. But He has told very clearly, no? Unless you surrender to Me, I will not take up your problems. You go to 100 people and try to solve. Nothing is better. We have done all that. He knows all that. So, unless there is a total surrender, we will be nowhere. My wife has worked in Puttaparthi for 15 years.
In what capacity?
As a mother.
Wonderful.
I have worked for 5 years. I used to escort her here. So one Mr. Pai was there from Canara Bank. He used to say, "Why are you wasting your time? I just came here to escort my wife. She is in Sevadal duty. So you are doing nothing in Puttaparthi." I said, "What work I have? Can you do some light duty?" I said, "I am an old man. What duty you want? At least you serve tea or coffee in the South Indian canteen." So immediately I said, "I don't have a badge. I don't have a scarf, nothing." He did everything for me. I am indebted to Mr. Pai for putting me in Sevadal. That is the best period in our life, I must say.
In what sense?
In what sense? Because it has given you a satisfaction. Not that we have done great things. All great things have been done by Swami.
Very true.
If not for Swami's hospitals, where is the opportunity for us? So after some time, when the Bangalore hospital started, Swami said, Karnataka people, don't come here. There are plenty of people coming from other states. You go to Bangalore hospital, such a big hospital I have started. You don't come here. So this happened many years ago. So we stopped. Even up to 2 years back, my wife used to work in the canteen. I used to work in the wards.
In the Sri Sathya Sai Super Speciality Hospital, Whitefield.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. That's the only place. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in that old hospital also.
General Hospital.
General Hospital. My wife used to go there.
After this kind of a deep association with Swami, this deep connection with Baba, was the Mahasamadhi hard for you to handle?
It was very difficult. Mahasamadhi, it was very difficult for us. Because of the heavy crowd, could not come immediately. We came here 4 or 5 days later and had a darshan of the Samadhi. By that time, Samadhi was ready. Not at the present state, there's some sort of Samadhi was there. But it was very, very difficult to digest that Baba is no more.
Is he not?
He is no more means only the physical body has gone.
Mm-hmm.
He is very much with us.
So, you know, this chair in the studio, Bhagwan had sat here physically when he inaugurated the studio, and we always experience his divine presence when we are recording. Now, if Bhagwan was to physically appear right before you right now, what would you say to him?
Except that I immediately go for darshan and take his path of scar.
Good thinking.
Yeah. I'm sure Swami is listening to what we are talking here.
All the time.
All the time. And I will immediately go and have a...
dive at the lotus feet and grab him.
Lotus feet and ask for his grace throughout.
Finally, if I asked you to sum up, who is Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba for you?
He is a living God. Living God, always living with us. He is inside us, outside us, in front of us and behind us.
I agree completely. Beautifully said. Your final thoughts, sir?
Final thoughts is... We have to always be thinking for His grace, who have problems. Who doesn't have problems? Human beings, as once we are brought into this world, we have live with problems.
It's part of the package.
It's a part of the package.
Right.
And we completely surrender to Him, and we go on this 40, 50 years, how many times we have given, a Pada Namaskar and no Sambhashan, but Darshan is there, Sparshan is there. Sambhashan very little, except that we used to talk to him when we did the letters. I mean, it's not new to anybody. It happens to everybody. I mean, we are afraid. What will he talk? But after some time, he goes away.
And you said that's a little bit of Sambhashan. For many of us, that's just a dream even to have that much of interaction. It's a huge blessing.
I mean, for that, I thank Swami for the 100 times we have come for darshan here, Kodaikanal, Ooty, Whitefield. And wherever he has gone, we have gone. Chennai. So, he has been continuously attracting us towards him. And what more do we want? Completely, we have to surrender. And then only things will happen. And that he has told in many speeches. Unless you totally surrender to me, I will not take up your problems.
Very nice listening to you, sir. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences and your perspective with our listeners.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, sir.
Tune in to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Sai Ram, thank you for staying with Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Coming to you from Prashanthi Nilayam, today is the 20th of February 2014 and the time in the ashram is 13 minutes past 10 a.m. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed that Tris with Divinity conversation with Mr. Sugunakar. Your feedback is very important to us. You can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. By the way, there are several hundred interesting and insightful interviews with Sai devotees from around the world under our Tris with Divinity series. You can access them all at radiosai.org/trist. That is radiosai.org/TRYST.
Before we go any further, I'd love to share with you a poem that Baba's biographer, Professor N. Kasturi, received in post on New Year's Day in 1960. And this happened when he used to live here in Prashanthi Nilayam. What was rather unusual about it was that the card was from the Lord of Prashanthi Nilayam, Bhagwan himself. And Bhagwan had cleverly sent this card to be mailed from a nearby town of Bukapatnam so that it would reach Professor Kasturi on New Year's Day as a pleasant surprise. Just imagine the joy and the thrill of the moment. But in doing so, the Lord himself taught us as to how we should pray. Baba wrote the following words, which I now quote for you. I firmly believe there is none kinder than you to shower grace on me. Tell me, is this not the reason why I am at your lotus feet? I firmly believe you will respond quickly when I do pray and plead. Tell me, is this not the reason why I am crying aloud for you? I firmly believe you are ever beside me to guide my steps aright. Tell me, is this not the reason why I am yours through day and night? I firmly believe you can never say no whatever I ask from you. Tell me, is this not the reason why I long for a glance from you? What have you designed for me this time? Why this dire delay to offer boons? However long you make me wait and wail, I will not leave. I will be standing still until your loving eyes do turn to me. Unquote. This was a poem Baba wrote to Professor Kasturi to teach us all how we should pray. So I guess Bhagwan expects us to live, pray, love him, and love his uncertainty with patience till his gaze does turn towards us. It is now time for me to treat you to the third and concluding part of the Fleeting Moments interview with Sai University alumnus Brother Yasab Giri. He is in conversation with Radio Sai's very own Brother Bishu Pushti, and here it is for your inspiration.
Let me narrate to you an episode. Our room leader was Kotesa. I asked him, is it compulsory to go for darshan? I had the nerve to ask him that.
I think it's a very sea change when you become a Sai student, because it's only when I joined the Sakshi Sai College I discovered that this God is not a photograph on the wall, and he's not something so distant. He's something very, very near you.
And this was lovely, because there you had on the gymnastic bench the student on one side, Swami on the other side, locked in battle. Again, it was arm wrestling with Swami.
And having been given the divine golden opportunity to have studied in his institutions and directly experienced his love, then we have to really live our lives to reflect his teachings.
Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories is our weekly radio series in which we bring you conversations with the former students of Bhagwan Baba's schools and colleges. You can also listen to this on Asia stream of Radio Sai on the Morning Glory segment of Thursday Live, which starts at 9:40 a.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website, radiosai.org. You can also download and listen to this at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/saistudents. That is radiosai/SAISTUDENTS. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
The only two words to describe Swami, I think, to some extent where you can do justice to what Swami is unconditional love.
Yes, yes. absolute selfless unconditional love. I think that is something which every student has experienced.
Yes. I would put it in two folds. One is when you are here or even otherwise, he gives you that unconditional love. But then he's also preparing you for the life outside, you know, because not everyone can stay back in the ashram.
Exactly.
People have to go out.
Yes.
And he knows that it's a difficult world outside, and he's preparing us for that difficult world. And he also feels that, you know, this is an army of students that I have, and if each one can go out and make a positive difference, it's going to have a ripple effect outside. I think that's the way he prepares us. He gives us unconditional love. He teaches us. He reprimands us, but he's grooming us,
yes,
preparing us for that eventuality that when you go out into this wide, wide world, I want you guys to stick to what you've learned and influence others, impact others, I guess.
Yes.
Whether it's in the form of seva or otherwise, you know.
Mm. So how has it been for you after you moved out and you've been now almost more than 15 years in the corporate world?
True.
So, yes, it is a difficult world, but all this training that you received at Bhagwan's feet, how has that helped you to sail through and perform and not only be happy, but also make others happy?
Yes. For once, I guess, wherever I've been, people have seen that I am straightforward in a way. There is nothing two ways about me. I guess integrity is something that today's corporates look at. People with integrity. People with moral values. Okay, and I think to most of us, as students, that comes by default of having studied here, being in Swami's presence. These things come by default. Discipline, integrity, morality comes by default.
Yes.
And that package, I think, is quite rare outside.
Mm.
And, you know, when you have a professional with that package, I think corporates look forward to.
Mm.
It's not just me. I think every Sai student that goes out, I think that's that package that they carry.
Yeah. Now, what I want to ask you is, while integrity, morality, we know is so important, and everybody is looking for it, but at the same time, if you see the youngsters of the current generation, you know, sometimes there is a feeling that, you know, if you go the straight way, if you want to be very truthful, probably you will not make it. Probably you are being foolish enough, trying to be very ethical, because you cannot really become successful if you stick to always your principles in a very, very steadfast manner without any compromises. You have to perhaps compromise on certain principles if you want to grow. What is your take on this?
I feel that one need not compromise. I personally feel there is a long road and a short road. You compromise and I think you reach a point faster.
Hmm.
You don't compromise, you'll reach a little longer.
Hmm.
But you'll have the satisfaction of having reached it without any compromises.
Yes. And that satisfaction is...
Yes, and that satisfaction money will not get you.
Money will not get you.
No.
And you're in a sales job.
Yes.
You were in a sales job. I think even now you perhaps look after marketing and sales,
yes,
right, of this company, Adeco India. And sales is an area where sometimes perhaps it's very difficult to be truthful.
Yeah, okay. I think during the initial years when I was an actual sales person per se and you had to sell products, yeah, we had to compare it ourselves with our competitors and sell it. Many times it was just the pitch that we made. But, you know, I think it's one thing is to do your job, and the other thing is also to let it impact you inward. You know, if I start allowing something to impact me internally, then I lose my values, my value system. I've never let that happen. So, sales to a point, don't push beyond a point and, you know, take the unethical route. So,
no.
You push it to a point wherein, fine, you need to close a deal, push it to the point wherein you still feel that you're within that boundary.
Within the boundary of your, what you define as your principles. And
Yes.
If it happens, happens. If it doesn't.
I sincerely believe that there are a lot of organizations out there who still value these principles. So I think for the youngsters that you just addressed, I think it's always the short road and the long road. Which road you want to take?
Yes. And you can be successful.
You can be. Most of my colleagues who moved out, my batchmates from my hill, all of them are successful today. And all of them have gone with blessings of Swami. So, none of them has really taken the short road. It's a long road. And I see, if my batchmates can be successful, why can't others?
Others, yes.
Moreover, I think, you know, I work for a multinational and most companies today have a very strong internal controls and audit departments.
Yes.
Who are very careful about the practices that employees follow.
Yes.
Whether in dealing with internal customers or external customers. So, there's already a check and balance mechanism,
yes,
and you can't really go astray.
Yeah. You know,
that is one. So, in a scenario like this, while employees are bounded to be straight correct, But if you are on your own, you know, someone who is ethical or has values, I think corporates appreciate that.
They appreciate that.
You have to be aggressive. Mm. You have to meet your targets. You are a professional, so you also have to deliver your tasks.
Yeah.
But you can still do by being an ethical person.
Yes. I have two questions. As a manager from Bhagwan's management program in Prashanti, apart from being ethical and being moral, is there any other facet of your personality that you see which you ingrained from being here, which is really helping you as you discharge your managerial responsibilities?
Okay, I think in the earlier part of my career, very short-tempered I was. Because I think, you know, you are out there to prove, and if things don't happen the way you want, you tend to lose your temper, and it spreads to the team around, creates a lot of negativity. But I have always looked at time spent with Swami, and what Swami has actually said about anger.
Yes.
Anger per se, and anger and ego are in a way related.
Yes.
In some way or the other, you know. So, of late, I have been trying to use that. I try to use that at home with my kids, and I try to use it in the office and see, you know, ever bring in a balance. There's a balance between stress and also an outburst of that stress, you know.
Yes.
And that's also very important because we live in a very stressful environment today. I think all of our brothers who work in a corporate environment undergo that stress, and sometimes the stress comes out in many forms, and one of the forms could also be anger. Yes. Or you are short-tempered. And that is very crucial because, you know, that spoils the harmony of the organization, that impacts Yes. performance of teams.
Yes.
So how one can control that and have a better outlet? So, you know, me and my colleague, we've now started going to bhajans every Saturday, and that is a way also to channelize our energy.
Yes.
In a very positive way. And, you know, 1 hour of bhajans leaves us very peaceful, at least for that weekend, and, you know, you come back recharged on Monday.
Yes, yeah. I think these spiritual disciplines, they help you to be successful in real life.
Yes.
They are not, you know, people perhaps will think that, you know, bhajans and meditation, they are for spiritual aspirants. I think that is one side of the story, but I think these are the tools that you need to be successful even in the routine, mundane world.
Yes, you have to be calm. I think you need a calm mind to take right decisions. And
decisions.
You go to a bhajan for an hour, it soothes your mind, it calms
Yes.
you so well.
Yes.
That at least you can take proper decision thereafter.
Yes. And there must have been times in your life when you faced with certain challenges which were really something which pushed you to the corner. And you started questioning everything, you know, why is this happening to you? Were there any moments like that in your life, and then how did you overcome those obstacles?
I don't think I really had a situation where I was pushed into a corner, I would say, but yes, there was a period in time when my daughter met with an accident when she was just 3 years old,
mm-hmm.
and she broke her arm, and it was a major fracture, and somehow, you know, while we were able to get the fracture resolved, it was a major operation, she needed 12 stitches on her arm, but there was no pulse. And the doctor said that, you know, if you don't get a pulse within 2 days, you know, it will cause gangrene. Because if there is no blood flowing into the arm, it can lead to gangrene, and then it will be a serious problem, leading to amputation of hand and all of that. So those were very, very trying moments, and I used to spend days together at the hospital with my daughter, trying to find out how do we resolve this. And I think there was a point wherein, you know, it came that they had to wheel her out for a further operation to see whether they can do something to this vein so that, you know, the beat comes back. It was a very trying moment because my daughter was just 3 years old. She was in amazing pain. So those were very trying times. So I think we remembered Swami a lot during those periods. But definitely I think you tend to remember Swami when chips are down.
Yes.
You don't really remember much when that going is good. And fortunately, the doctor wanted to have one last check on the pulse and see whether the pulse is still there. Then he somehow detected a very, very faint pulse somewhere. Said, let's not take her to the operations. Let's wait for another 2 days and see if this faint pulse becomes stronger. And fortunately, in 2 days, it was strong. So they kept her for another 2 days and discharged her. So that was a very trying moment for us.
So you felt that invisible presence?
Yes, I have always felt it. You know, this is a major issue where I probably felt it, but even in very, very small things.
You all the time feel
it? Yeah, many times I think, why should I ask for so much of help? But invariably, you know, you end up asking for help. and you get help.
And you get help.
Yes.
All the time.
All the time.
And I think that is, I don't know if I am perhaps echoing when I say this, what I've heard from many Sai students, you always feel that, you know, you can fall back on someone. That becomes that self-confidence. There is so much of strength because you know that, you know, you have a reservoir of cosmic energy to always support you, whatever be in life.
Yeah, many times I find it's very selfish of us, actually speaking, that when we are in difficult situations and when we don't see a way out, then we very strongly remember Swami, you know. And most of the time when the going was good, it's always a fleeting thing, okay, I'm praying and maybe I'm attending some bhajans and okay, life is good. So I guess that's one thing where we need to bring about some evenness that, you know, whether it's going is good or bad.
Yes.
That same sort of dedication if I can get.
Yes.
When it comes to Swami, I think that would make me more happy.
Yes.
But like any normal human being, you know, I think of him very strongly when I'm in a spirit of bother.
Yeah. I think it reminds of one of the Doha of Kabir where Kabir Das says that Sukhme Sumiran Sab Kare.
Dukhme Kare Ne Koi.
Koi.
Yeah, yeah.
Jo Sukhme Sumiran Kare, Dukh Kaye Ko
Kare.
I mean, yeah. Everyone prays during the times when chips are down, but if you thought of him when he was happy, then probably you'll never come to that situation when you are going through something which is rough in your life. Anyway, I think as you reflect on all the time that you spent and the moments that you have had in his physical presence and now those moments in his invisible omnipresence, and that relationship continues.
Yeah, I would put it, yeah, and it's a very crude way of putting it, but you know, I studied during a time wherein I think the physical presence mattered a lot, you know, and we spent every minute of our lives waiting for the physical presence, you know, when would he come? When can I see him? Or when would he look at me? When would he tap me? When would he speak to me? What would he say to me? You know, it was very much governed by that. So, to suddenly lose that, it's very difficult, I would probably say. The reason why I didn't come for a couple of years was that I just couldn't bring myself to come and see an empty Prashant without that physical form. So, I guess one of our challenges today is also to channelize Swami internally now. And when you go to see him every day of our lives and not just come to Parthi. Otherwise, earlier it was, you know, you come to Parthi, you see him physically, you charge yourself when you go back. Now you don't see him physically. So I think every day if you can feel him and feel the essence for which he stood, I think that is probably going to help.
Yeah.
Which is very difficult, I feel. Personally, I feel it very difficult.
To feel him every day?
To feel him every day. The way we felt him when we saw the physical
form. Saw the physical form. Yeah, of course, when you have the physical form, it's so easy. And now, since you spent so much time with having so much of physical proximity, so every time I think those moments come back and they all the time leave you with a feeling of sorrow. But at the same time, I think perhaps Swami wants us to go inward now. There's no
yes,
problem.
I hear a lot of people who say you need to internalize Swami. But the process of internalizing him is a difficult process. Personally for me, very difficult. I guess, but as you move ahead and the passage of time,
yes,
that process will be complete.
And what is it that you think you'll be carrying from Prashant Nilayam from this trip once you go back to Delhi?
One is obviously recharge my batteries. But larger question that is nagging is that, you know, purpose.
Yes.
Like I said, what is the purpose for which he is readied us to go out? So currently what I am doing, is that the purpose? Am I carrying on that part of what he wanted us to do, or is there a larger purpose? And what is it, you know?
Yes.
One needs to think, you know, because while we were students, when we were in Vrindavan, we really felt that, you know, if he gave us an opportunity to study in this college, we need to give back something to him. And for 4 years, 10 days of our lives, when we went back in vacation, we dedicated to doing service.
Mm-hmm.
We went to remote villages and stayed there with those villagers.
Stayed in the villages?
Stayed with the villagers.
In Darjeeling?
Yeah, in whatever place they gave us. You know, it was a hut or a building or whatever they gave us, we slept there. And we worked during the day, physical labor we did, whether it was constructing a temple, renovating a school, building a ground.
Whatever the villagers wanted?
Whatever they wanted. And, you know, in the evenings we used to have bhajans. They were completely new to Swami. They had not heard of Sai Baba at all. We used to do bhajans. They used to come and attend bhajans. And many of us used to speak on Swami in broken Nepalese because we were not very fluent. And we used to talk about miracles of Swami. And people used to come and listen. It was amazing, you know. I remember that one family in whose house we stayed, they had never heard of Swami at all. we went, stayed, and we worked there. And after two winters, when I came here in Parthi, I actually saw the family in Parthi when they had come to see Swami. But, you know, we did it on a very small scale, and I still feel that we need to reach out to people, and, you know, there is some service that we need to do. What? I really do not know. So, one of the tasks is also to go back and find out that, you know, okay, current professional career is there, and then thereafter, what? When does the service aspect really start, and what would one do? What will I do?
Yes.
How will I impact?
Yes.
And I always feel that is a larger purpose.
Yes. And as you mentioned, in 2010, Swami's Delhi visit, he asking you, what service are you doing?
Yes,
and
yes.
I think, so maybe that is a question that is constantly seeking answer.
Yes.
From
yes.
you.
Yes.
And I think even as you recharge yourself and leave Prashantiniyam, that will continuously keep going on in your mind.
I know, we made an attempt, but a very feeble attempt. Those of us who come from the hills and studied here, we formed a small group. We brainstormed to see what we can do while being still remote. Many of us are abroad and hardly anyone is back in our hometown. So we felt we should officially have something to do, some activity. So we went ahead and registered a society and named it SAINO. The SAI stands for SAI and the N and O stands for Noble Organization. Okay?
Okay.
That's SAINO. And in Nepalese, the word SAINO means relation.
Relation. Okay.
Okay. So we did register it, and so many of us are members of that society. The next part is now, how do I take this society forward, okay. and what can we do? How do we arrange funds? How do we take up projects? How do we implement that? So we're just trying to work our heads and say, how is it possible? If all of us are remote, how is it possible? Or will some of us have to get into it and get this thing moving? I think that's where we are all stuck.
Right? So, oh, it's I now, it is.
Now.
Yes. Maybe this trip is all for you to introspect and
sure.
make that sigh no sigh now.
I guess.
Wonderful. So before we end, can I request you to sing one bhajan, something which you loved singing in front of Swami? I know we don't have the harmonium here, but maybe you can just sing few lines just for that our listeners can get a feel of your voice.
Yes, I will probably warn the listeners that, you know, it's a croaking voice that they will hear. But there is one bhajan that I loved singing in front of Swami.
And if there's any episode related to that bhajan, you can always narrate.
There isn't one, but I love singing this song called Nandake Dulare. I somehow felt that certain lines, you could really feel those lines. So maybe I'll sing that.
Sure.
Nand ke dulare, Yashoda ke pyare. Nand ke dulare, Yashoda ke pyare. Govinda murare, Dino ke sahare. Govinda murare, Dino ke sahare. Nand ke dulare, Yashoda ke pyare. Karuna sagar, Giridhar nagara. Karuna sagar, Giridhar nagara. Murali manohara, Sai murare. Murali manohara, Sai murare. Nand ke dulare, Yashoda ke pyare.
Beautiful. So which line in this really appeals to you the most?
Karuna Sagar, Giridhar Nagar.
Karuna Sagar. We can relate to.
I can relate it to. All my 5 years, that's all I can relate it to. I only saw Karuna.
Only compassion and mercy.
Compassion and love. Compassion and love. Yeah, really.
Wonderful. Now that you are also someone who is going regularly for bhajans in the place that you are in and teaching people bhajans, and you are someone who has also had an liking towards so many other forms of music, English music before, and I don't know now what other music that you hear, but what are your impressions on Sai bhajans?
My daughter learns classical music. She's been learning for 4 years, and generally she practices at home. and to explain one raga, generally, you know, it takes her about 10-15 minutes doing all the
elaboration
of that raga. And when I listen to a Sai Bhajan, you know, I see that in that 5 lines, the entire raga is explained beautifully. I keep telling my daughter that you should learn our Sai Bhajans because, you know, they catch one raga and so beautifully they explain.
In just 4-5 lines, you
have the raga. Yes, it's really beautiful. Some of our bhajans are fantastic. The way they've captured ragas, they are just amazing.
What is it that is always top of your mind when you sing a bhajan?
Somehow I feel that there are some ragas which suit me or some style of songs that suit me. I've always liked this rag Charukesi. Somehow it's got a very melancholy feel to it, and sometimes I feel that it gives me liberty to explore the emotional content of that bhajan. For example, Nandake Dulare or Satya Sai Rama that I sang, these bhajans, the way the chord structure, the raga is structured, it helps you explore some emotional thoughts, some feelings. I feel Yaman, for that matter also, it's a very nice raga. So some Ganesh bhajan in Yaman, it is beautiful.
Yes, so basically it helps you to express.
Express, yes.
And every time you have used these bhajans to communicate with Swami, right?
Yes, and I told you in the beginning, there are many times when I have sung out of scale and maybe not given the entire turns and twists that a bhajan required, but I always felt that I could connect with Bhagwan when I sang. I could always pour out my heart. That was more important.
And Swami responded.
And most of the time he responded. That's why I sang for 5 years.
Yeah. So what would you like to say to all those budding singers and aspiring singers? You know, there's so many devotees, youth out there, you know, who would like to lead bhajans, who would like to join Sai Samitis and, you know, offer their music to Swami. What would be your advice to them? One, two, three.
My advice to them is something that I never did in my life. So that is practice.
Yes.
I never did it. And I'm sure if I had seriously practiced, I would be able to render better. But anyway, the time is long gone. But I think for all aspiring singers, the riyaz or, you know, taking guidance under someone who knows music, classical music, I think it's very important. Because if the foundation is good, then, you know, on that foundation you can build anything.
Yes.
And I think classical music is that foundation. On that you can sing any genre. You can sing rock, pop, classical, devotional, anything you can sing, if the foundation is good. So I think so for all budding singers, bass. They should go to a guru or a teacher who can actually teach them that bass well.
Learn music with discipline for some reason.
Yes, I think that's extremely important. I vouch for it. I have not followed it, but I'm giving an advice.
You had natural gift from God.
I don't know about that, but I think people should take music seriously, practice real hard. And I think a daily practice is what will keep everyone in touch with music. That is the technical part of music.
Yes.
The other thing is to sing with your heart out. I think that's also very important. So you can be technically very strong and there will be no bhav in your bhajan. So I think both are equally good. You need to be technically good, but you need to have a lot of emotions and feelings in your bhajans. Otherwise, the person who listens will not be able to connect or appreciate.
Absolutely. I think maybe it is only because of this bhava aspect that,
I'm sure,
even though you are saying you didn't practice, but I think that is what really you are able to connect and offer your music. But as someone very beautifully once told me that just like when you want to communicate in a language, two things are needed. One is that you need to know what you want to communicate, and then you need the language. You need both of them if you want to say something. And this brother very beautifully compared this. He said, what you want to communicate is the feeling, and the medium with which you can communicate is the raga and tala.
The raga and tala, yes.
So you cannot dispense with either of them. If you just know the raga and tala, but you don't know what you have to communicate, then it is going to be an empty thing.
Correct.
But if you know what you want to communicate, but you don't have these tools, you don't have the raga and tala, then again, there is no communication happening. So I think that's what you said, you know, the first and second. You need the foundation, but that foundation will help you to express the feeling. Wonderful. Thank you very much, brother. Finally, how does it feel being on radio? I don't think you expected you'll be coming to the studio and doing this conversation.
I never expected when you ambushed me in the morning. I really didn't expect. I'm a little nervous and shy on Radio Sai.
But I didn't want to lose this opportunity because you're someone who had this many, many years with Swami and who had the chance to sing for so many years. I am sure listeners would have definitely got many things out of this conversation. Thank you so much for coming to the studios.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. And Sairam.
Sairam.
Sairam, dear listeners, you just heard the concluding part of this three-part Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview with Sai University alumnus, Mr. Yasab Giri of Darjeeling. He was in conversation with Radio Sai's Mr. Bishop Rushdie. We are looking forward to your feedback to this conversation. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. And we invite you to browse through our repository of many engaging, inspiring, humorous and moving interviews with several hundred Sai students, all of which, of course, are free downloads on our website radiosai.org/Sai students. This shortcut will take you straight to the long list of interviews that are yours to enjoy at leisure. One thought that I'd like to leave you with is to download on your smart device or a pen drive as many Fleeting Moments interviews with Sai students or as many Trisvi Divinity interviews with Sai devotees from around the world and enjoy listening to them while traveling, driving or waiting. A lot of our listeners report that they are doing so and they are just loving it. This way they are always in Swami's company and everything goes easy and smooth. Long drives and rides feel so enjoyable, and short and waiting in a doctor's office or on the bus stand doesn't seem so irksome. Of course, you got to use your headphones in these situations where you are in a public place. Now, as I promised you earlier on in the show, I have some very happy news to share with you from the Sai University. It is groundbreaking news, literally and metaphorically. And I have a press release in front of me from Professor A. Anantharaman, the media coordinator of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, and I'll read some lines from it for you. Bhumi Puja for a new research center at the Sai University, Prashanthi Nilayam, 17th of February 2014. The foundation stone was laid for a new research center to be called the Sri Satya Sai Center for Advanced Studies when the Chancellor of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning presided over a Bhumi Puja at the Prashanthi Nilayam campus today. Expected to cost about rupees 20 crores, which I believe is over $3.2 million, when completed and equipped, this center will focus on multidisciplinary research in the field of computer sciences, nanoscience, medicinal chemistry, cell biology, and structural biology. The center will also conduct advanced studies in management, economics, leadership and human values, philosophy and Indian culture. The center has threefold objectives: to promote the value systems espoused by Baba in the field of science, business management, economics, education through thought-based and empirical research; to establish a think tank consisting of eminent personalities, both academics, scientists and practitioners, to pursue interdisciplinary research; to establish and pursue collaborative relationships with other like-minded, reputed national and international institutions, and encourage faculty and researcher dialogue and collaboration in the center's fields of activity. The Vice Chancellor, in his speech, traced the genesis of the center, quoting several interactions he had with Baba on the center. The Chancellor, in his concluding speech, hoped that the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning will blaze a new trail by combining scientific research with ethics and social relevance. So that, dear listeners, is the good news from the Sri Satya Sai University. With that, dear brothers and sisters, I'd like to thank you for your company, and I hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Morning Glory on Thursday Live. We love to hear from you. Please go ahead and send us your email at listener@radiosai.org. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well, keep seeking, and do whatever it takes to stay positive and inspired. And now that I have a few extra minutes on hand, I'd love for you to enjoy some blissful bhajans from our Sai Blossom product, Nada Brahman 7. Till we meet next Thursday, Jai Sai Ram, and I hope you have a saisome awesome day ahead. ¶¶
जय साई गुरुदेवा साई गुरुदेवा
जय साई गुरुदेवा
जय साई गुरुदेवा साई गुरुदेवा
जय साई गुरुदेवा
गुरु सेवा बिना
Swara Satya Sai Swara
Venkatesha Saishwara Tirumalai Vasa Saishwara Saishwara Satya Saishwara Balaji Govinda Saishwara
Balaji Govinda
Balaji Govinda Saishwara
Balaji Govinda Saishwara
Akhilandanatha Anandarupa
Akhilandanatha Anandarupa
Venkatesha Sai Venkatesha
Venkatesha Sai Venkatesha
Venkatesha Sai Venkatesha
Venkatesha Sai Venkatesha
Venkatesha Sai Venkatesha Balaji Govinda Saishwara
Balaji Govinda Saishwara
Balaji Govinda Saishwara
Balaji Govinda
Sri Venkatesha Saishwara Tirumalai Vasa Saishwara
Kamalanayana Kamala Nayana Narayana